Chapter 10. It was a miserable Christmas dinner. They ate it at Candy's hotel. They had credit there. She gave Duff a gold signet ring and Sean a box of cigars. Sean had never smoked before, but now the sting of it in his lungs gave him a certain masochistic pleasure. The dining room roared with men's voices and cutlery clatter. The air was thick with the smell of food and tobacco smoke, while in one corner, marooned on a little island of gloom, sat Sean, Duff and Candy. Once Sean lifted his glass at Duff and spoke like an undertaker's clerk. "Happy Christmas." Duff's lips twitched back in a dead man's grin. "And the same to you." They drank. Then Duff roused himself to speak.
"Tell me again how much we've got left. I like to hear you say it. You have a beautiful voice. You should have played Shakespeare."
£3.16.
"Yes, yes, you got it just right that time. £3.16. Now, to make me feel Christmassy, tell me how much we owe."
"Have another drink." Sean changed the subject.
"Yes, I think I will, thank you." "Oh, please, you two. Let's just forget about it for today," pleaded Candy. "I planned for it to be such a nice party. Look, there's Francois. Hey, Francois, over here."
The dapper Dutoit bustled across to their table.
"Happy Christmas, Carols. Let me buy you a drink."
"It's nice to see you."
Candy gave him a kiss.
"How are you? You're looking fine."
Francois sobered instantly.
"It's funny you should say that, Candy. As a matter of fact, I'm a bit worried."
He tapped his chest and sank down into an empty chair.
"My heart, you know. I've been waiting for it to happen. And then yesterday I was up at the mill, just standing there, you understand, when suddenly it was as though a vice was squeezing my chest. I couldn't breathe. Well, not very well, anyway. Naturally, I hurried back to my tent and looked it up. Page 83, under diseases of the heart."
He shook his head sadly.
"It's very worrying. You know, I wasn't a well man before, but now this..."
"Oh, no," wailed Candy. "I can't stand it. Not you, too."
"I'm sorry. Have I said something wrong?"
"Just in keeping with the festive spirit at this table."
And she pointed to Duff and Sean.
"Look at their happy faces. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to check up in the kitchen."
She went.
"What's wrong, old Duff?"
Duff flashed his death's head grin across the table at Sean.
"The man wants to know what's wrong. Tell him."
£3.16, said Sean, and Francois looked puzzled.
"I don't understand."
"He means we're broke, flat broke."
"God, I'm sorry to hear that, Duff. I thought you were going good. I've heard the mill running all this month. I thought you'd be rich by now."
"The mill's been running all right, and we've recovered enough gold to block a flea's backside."
"But why, man? You are working the Leader Reef, aren't you?"
"I'm beginning to think this Leader Reef of yours is a bedtime story."
Francois peered into his glass thoughtfully.
"How deep are you?"
"We've got one incline shaft down about 50 feet.
"No sign of the leader?"
Duff shook his head, and Francois went on.
"You know, when I first spoke to you, a lot of what I said was just guessing."
Duff nodded.
"Well, I know a bit more about it now. What I'm going to tell you is for you alone. I'll lose my job if it gets out, you understand?"
Duff nodded again. "So far, the Leader Reef has only been found at two places.
We've got it on the Jack and Whistle, and I know the Haynes brothers have struck it on the Cousin Jock mine. Let me draw it for you.
He picked up a knife and drew in the gravy on the bottom of Sean's plate.
This is the main reef, running fairly straight. Here I am, here is the Cousin Jock, and here you are in between us. Both of us have found the leader and you haven't. My guess is it's there all right, you just don't know where to look. At the far end of the Jack and Whistle claims, the main reef and the leader are running side by side, 2 feet apart. But by the time they reach the boundary nearest to the Candy Deep, they've opened up to 70 feet apart. Now, on the boundary of the Cousin Jock, they're back to 50 feet apart. To me, it seems that the two reefs form the shape of a longbow, like this. He drew it in. The main reef is the string, and the leader reef is the wood. I'm telling you, Duff, if you cut a trench at right angles to the main reef, you'll find it. And when you do, you can buy me a drink.
They listened gravely, and when Francois finished, Duff leaned back in his chair.
If we'd known this a month ago. Now how are we going to raise the money to cut a new trench and still keep the mill running?
We could sell some of our equipment, suggested Sean.
We need it, every scrap of it. Besides, if we sold one spade, the creditors would be on us like a pack of wolves, howling for their money. I'd make you a loan if I had it, but with what Mr. Heratsky pays me...
Francois shrugged.
You'll need about £200. I haven't got it.
Candy came back to the table in time to hear Francois's last remark.
What's this all about?
Can I tell her, Francois?
If you think it will do any good.
Candy listened, then thought for a moment.
Well, I've just bought 10 plots of ground in Johannesburg, this new government village down the valley, so I'm short myself. But I could let you have £50, if that would help.
I've never borrowed money from a lady before. It'll be a new experience. Candy, I love you.
I wish you meant that, said Candy.
But luckily for Duff, his hearing failed him completely just as Candy spoke. He went on hurriedly.
We'll need another 150 or so. Let's hear your suggestions, gentlemen.
There was a long silence. Then Duff started to smile, and he was looking at Sean.
Don't tell me, let me guess, Sean forestalled him. You're going to put me out to stud?
Close, but not quite right.
How are you feeling, laddie?
Thank you, I'm all right.
Strong?
Yes.
Brave?
Come on, Duff, let's have it. I don't like that look in your eye.
Duff pulled a notebook out of his pocket and wrote in it with a stump of pencil. Then he tore out the page and handed it to Sean.
We'll have posters like this put up in every canteen on the goldfields.
Sean read it. On New Year's Day, Mr. Sean Courtney, heavyweight champion of the Transvaal Republic, will stand to meet all comers in front of Candy's hotel for a purse of £50 a side. Spectators' fees, 2 shillings. All welcome. Candy was reading it over his shoulder. She squeaked.
That's wonderful. I'll have to hire extra waiters to serve drinks, and I'll run a buffet luncheon. I suppose I could charge 2 shillings a head. I'll fix the posters, Francois said, not to be outdone, and I'll send a couple of my chaps down to put in a ring.
We'll close the mine down until New Year. Sean will have to get a lot of rest. We'll put him on light training only.
No drinking, of course, and plenty of sleep, said Duff.
It's all arranged then, is it? Asked Sean. All I've got to do is go in there and get beaten to a pulp.
We're doing this for you, laddie, so that you can be rich and famous. Thank you. Thank you very much. You do like to fight, don't you? When I'm in the mood. Don't worry, I'll think up some dirty names to call you, just to get you worked up in no time at all.